Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Doom and Christian Living Today. This is Elliot Thompson, as usual, serving as co-host for tonight, along with Ms. Dawn. Dawn, how are we doing?
I'm good, Elliot. A little tired. We've been racing all over the place.
Yeah, but it's been a blessed day. Worship at the Dunes this morning with campers, followed by worship with Bethel Lutheran over in Gary. And what a blessing it was to just be asked to lead worship with that group and be with that congregation once again. And Dawn, I'm sure they really appreciated your song as well.
They're always very kind to me. That's what I have to say.
Well, it's a blessing to be with you again tonight, but we also have some guests with us tonight. We have a group of young women that are going to be working with us here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church this week and sharing their ministry with our kids and our youth. So we're very thankful to have a group from Luther Road here with us today. And we're going to try to engage them in a little bit of conversation. It could be a little dangerous for us. We've been forewarned. They like to talk.
But right now they're chewing. So
right now they're chewing.
You go ahead and talk.
Well, we want you to continue to help us get this word out and share the link as you can. The archive is out there, and we ask that you go ahead and push that archive link out to your friends, family, anybody that you think needs a little hope and a little bit of inspiration possibly coming from our discussions in the Word. You can like us at Facebook.com/Doom and Christian Living, and you can follow us at Twitter. One of these days I'll get that whole sequence right.
Follow us on Twitter,
yeah, at DCL Network. So, but as we move into this, one of the things I just want to share with you today, we've been talking throughout the summer, on and off, dealing with the unity of the church, and it came alive for us today in our text of Ephesians today. And it certainly was a message that I think we all need to work on as the world is finding itself pulling itself apart on racial lines, on spiritual lines, on educational lines, on every possible angle. The world is looking to tear us apart and break us into smaller and smaller segments. And as we listen to Paul's text today in Ephesians, he reminds us that the church is one in Christ, that God preordained all to be serving and bringing glory to his name under the salvation and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now it's just where we've taken that text today.
No one sex is better or more special than anybody else. We're all Christ's children.
Great. And as we're working with that in the Dunes today, again, beauty of sharing worship with the Dunes, that we don't know who the Lord's going to bring forward with us, and we have all denominations. And it's interesting, as we go down this discussion, it's almost like a sign of relief for the people when they hear that we're talking about one church, right? Is that they oh, good, thank goodness. You know, we're not going to have to deal with differences in doctrine. We're not going to have to deal with one denomination or another. We're not going to have to deal with one style or another.
Might have a little variety on the Lord's Prayer.
Might have a little bit of variety on the Lord's Prayer, but we usually get through it with different words. Sometimes I think we create our own version, but that seems to work out. So joining us tonight, though, and with that is speaking of this one church concept, is a group of young women who have dedicated their summer traveling around the state of Indiana, and may even go to other states, but I'm not sure about that. We're not sure where they're from. We were introduced to them a few moments ago.
First name only.
The one that I remember, so I apologize. That's Blair. Why? I'm not sure. So, hi, Blair. But I think it's such an inspiration to see people understanding their faith enough to have confidence in who they are in Christ, to step forward and to share that love with others right now. You know, for me and my journey, and anybody that knows me knows that my faith life kicked in sometime after the age of 50 in earnest, even though I've been doing other things, receiving ministry a lot earlier in my life. But, you know, I really understood more about my calling in the last 5-6 years than I did in the first 50 years of my life. So it's a blessing to see the church come alive and the youth right now, and then to have that kind of confidence to go out, end up meeting people and staying with them for a week that they don't know anything about. It's kind of scary. Meeting kids that they don't know anything about, but just sharing their love with Christ.
And getting them fired up.
Yeah. So one of the things that's curious to me, I'm going to throw it out to the group. I'd like to hear someone tell me, you know, how did you come to be this confident in yourself to take this kind of step forward in your journey at this point in time? Anybody want to take on that challenge?
Only one person not chewing.
They're eating their dinner tonight. And we're joining in on their dinner hour, so we apologize for that. But anybody want to talk about how you got here?
Okay. Good. So I was always a camper at
the outdoor camps that are around Indiana, especially Luther Walden. So being a part of Luther Road, we're also connected to outdoor ministry in Indiana. And so being a camper there got me really excited about God by the games and just the energy of the counselors. And so being a camper there was like, I'm going to work at these camps when I grow up. And so when I got old enough, I started working at the camp. And this is now my fifth summer with like Lutheran Outdoor Ministries. And I decided to go on the road this summer just to switch up a little bit from the regular site camps that I'm at. And I really enjoyed it to be able to visit all the different churches around Indiana. And last week we were in Chicago too, so we got a little bit Illinois in us. And just being able to see different churches, see the ministries that are already happening in these places, and just be able to take our program that we trained for and to take it to all these different places has been really rewarding.
And I tell you, it's an exciting ministry that you have gone through, but what's interesting in what you said is the importance of an early life in Christ, and that the work that so many others did around you at this time, others that are your age now, maybe even older, that were sharing their faith with you, that demonstrated that freely, and how that helped you gravitate to it, and that memory you had, that's your upbringing. So that's an important thing for all adults that are out there, to recognize that as your family life goes, so goes your faith, and as so goes your faith, so goes your family life. So you know, you practice your faith, bring your kids up in the church, attend church regularly, attend Bible study, and let your kids know where your faith stands. Don't hide it from them. Don't shield them. Yes.
And I like a lot about what you said about your experiences at camp, because our folks at Bethlehem Lutheran just came back from camp, from confirmation camp,
yeah.
And just so much energy. Even our pastor, he has been fed. And how cool is that? I thought that was a wonderful testimony to, and maybe they'll be ending up doing something marvelous like what you're doing now.
And what makes outdoor ministry so alive and so important? How does that tend to resonate with you, and then how do you see that resonating with kids that you work with? What's the importance of it being or surrounded by recreation and outdoor life? Anyone? No?
Sure, and try to answer.
Okay, well, I guess for me, I just really connect a lot to God with nature, and being outdoors in nature is a way for me to really, feel more closely connected to God, because I feel like at my home in like the suburbs, there isn't quite as much of that nature feel. So being able to be in a lake and be outside and outdoors is a way to just feel a little bit more freer in the world and be able to connect to God through the outdoor with chapel, where there's just beauty and being able to experience God through the music and through the surroundings as well.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot with our ministry at the state park, because we're meeting with the campers. The lake is just on the other side of a dune. It's just, you're beautiful. It's beautiful, and you're right out there in the middle of it all.
It also gives, we talked about it, it gives us, me, this feel of what the early church may look like, right? When you're outdoors in small groups and you just have a conversation, you know, it's not about whether or not you lit the right candle at the right time. It's not about, you know, who carried what up to the altar and whether or not they had the robe tied with the left side or the right side with the pass line. It's just in a space where God is alive by his creation around you. And it just seems so natural and so easy to come into a discussion in those formats. So we really enjoy that. So as you have set up this program, what are some of the things that the kids can be looking forward to and the families that are sharing their kids with you this week? What are some of the activities you have planned?
All right, so some activities that we have planned. We have a water day, which I think will be really fun, especially when it gets really hot here in Indiana. And so we have lots of water activities.
We have Pi the Pastor?
We have Pi the Counselor, Pi the staff member. So I don't think we'll bring our pastor to that. But we willingly will get Pi based off offering. It's really a great offering for our outdoor ministry program. For those that campers that need financial assistance, we'll be able to get the offerings. We get Pi. And we also have lots of games. We have a game called Egyptian Softball, which is kind of like a little twist on the softball game, which is what the campers really enjoy. And we have lots of arts and crafts. We have paint and watercolors and a lot of picture frames so they can remember the week with their picture of their cabin. We call them cabins because we're taking a lot of our curriculum from the outdoor ministry and then taking it to the churches so each of us have a cabin.
Keep it in that small group format.
In the small group format, so they can relate and have their counselor and have that, build that relationship up with their counselor. And so we also have lots of upbeat songs. We have song time, and we have a campfire kind of time, too, where we don't have a real campfire. We usually have in sanctuary, but we do skits and we sing songs together and do a prayer at the end. And yeah, lots of fun activities.
So who's musical in this group?
Oh, yay. She's staying at my house. I play guitar.
Yeah.
One of the things I really appreciate about camp, I wasn't a camp kid when we were growing up, but our youngest son decided that he was going to go on a trip at one point in time.
With the church,
to Lake Geneva, to the camp up there. And, you know, he was excited about it. There was group friends that were all going. And all of a sudden, we were there. He just, like, didn't want to be there. Didn't want anything to do with it. We got there, none of his friends were there. He had never been to camp. Didn't know what to expect. It just been a real awkward situation. So he had almost to take him home, right? We're starting to say, maybe we've got to give in to him. He's whining too much. Never had interest. And all of a sudden, some friend of his sees him, and that was the end of it. Everything was done. Right? He wanted nothing to do with us from that moment on. We got involved in some game, and what was really fun about it was that, you kind of stick with basics because it's a basic setup. You're out in the woods, right? He brought games back to the neighborhood and was playing with them. The kids that had no clue how to play hops. Believe it or not, battling hops with the string and you toss the hop into the ring and you have them battle out and knock hockey kind of things. All these games that I played when I was a kid and probably my parents played when they were kids. And he brought them back to the neighborhood, and that's what the kids got into that whole summer, were the games and things that he picked up at camp. But if you want,
there was no rapping Jesus.
No, there's no rapping Jesus. But that was a fun experience to learn about how this kind of opportunity really does change kids' lives. Our older son had the opportunity to go on a couple of work camps with the church. And we had moved, I think, an opportunity, we moved up to Rochester, New York, from Naperville, Illinois. And our son had done, I think it was his trip to Canada, and he was doing a bunch of work or whatever.
So we're looking for a new church home.
Yeah, and we're just in the weekend. So we're excited that you're all joining us this week. We're excited for our kids. Now, I'd like to go into a little bit of our traditional format. We'll talk a little bit about our lesson today. And Dawn's going to try to read and remind us
of the scripture verses.
We're working from Ephesians, Paul's letter to people of Ephesus. And what's really interesting about this letter is that it's not just addressed to the Jews or understanding Christianity and faith in Christ for the first time. But Paul is discussing this letter to all, Jews and Gentiles alike, and he's really written this for a purpose, because one of the things that was transpiring at this point is that the Jewish church going folks at this point in time were kind of pulling themselves away from the Gentiles, because they were the chosen, they were the first.
They were pretty impressive
that they were more important to God than the Gentiles who just convert and who just come to know Christ. And Paul's trying to reset the game for them and say, no, that's not true. But Dawn, if you can.
Okay, this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, have been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. There has to be an easier version of this.
Well, there is. Yeah, it'd be a little bit easier, but we'll just stick with that version. What we're getting here, and what I want to start off with, is just the call of unity. Paul goes right in, and this letter is ran. He starts with the term us. And then he moves into the term we. There's no exclusion. There's no distinction made between who the audience is. In fact, it is likely that this letter was mostly written to apply to everybody and anybody that kind of picked it up. To be read by multiple people at different locations at different points in time. It wasn't addressed to a single individual. It's more like a circular, if you will. It could have been hung up on a tree for that. And there are some earlier texts where the church in Ephesians is not even mentioned. So there's some thought that the church, the same letter, was delivered to other big places in the world just around that same time. But this context of being predestined, and that we are all predestined by God, created by his glory, for his glory. And that's the starting point, is to understand that there's unity in the church. There's not a difference between anyone that comes to Christ from the day that Christ died to today's life, 2,000 years later. We're all one, because someone was closer with the apostles, closer to the ministry, does not make them more faithful, does not make them different. Just a different time frame of their faith. So the important lesson that we take here is that we have to have that starting place. And one of the things that I always go down in this discussion is how the church is finding ways to scrape itself apart. Particularly, we look at how many different denominations we have out there. If we even just look at the Lutheran Church, we have the ELCA, we have the NALC, we have Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Synod, we have any number of other smaller factions out there. Even within the Lutheran Church, we proclaim to be following the studies and teachings of Luther and his understanding of faith. However, we find ourselves divided. In fact, with some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't even commune at the table with them. We're not invited. And I think that's a sad place to be. And where we take Paul's letter and understand that, if we elevate the discussion back up to the top level, back to the same core understanding that it is in Christ that God desires to have unity of the world, in salvation and redemption given to us through Christ. This is our starting point of the discussion. It's also our ending point of the discussion. To deal with differences in doctrine, to deal with differences in philosophy, to deal with differences in evangelism, style, techniques, all that, is a topic we shouldn't even go to. So, Dawn, as we had discussion with us today, any further thoughts that you want to share with us on this issue of bringing people to that top-level discussion and understanding the common ground?
I was just thinking about the mustard seed. I'm a fan. I was thinking about the concept of being predestined and the fact that Christ is in you, whether it's working for you or not at the time. Maybe you've got to do some of your own soul searching to pull your act together and to be there. But I was also thinking about what you were talking about the different denominations and how, just to give you an example, and I'm not pointing a finger like in a negative way here, but please hear me, that there are two Lutheran churches in this town, and if we all went over to that Lutheran church, they wouldn't give us communion.
Yes.
They own it.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the group that's just down the road from us. And yet, in our own grouping of Christian churches, we have Augsburg, and we don't see ourselves teaming up with them on ministry work. And that's the issue. How much stronger can we be in sharing the gospel if we found our common ground with the brothers and sisters in Christ and we're just around the corner from us? That's it. Let me bring also something forward to you. In Paul, and we hear in Colossians, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, for the thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. This goes back to the seed. When we keep talking about that seed of Christ that lies within each of us. We have all been born out of God's grace and his gift to creation in us. With that, that's our common seed. If we look at just that core and remember that core, then we can accept others for the value and the benefit that God's given them. God's given everything.
And that's in everyone. So even if your life is falling apart and you don't have your act together and you feel that you're valueless, you got to remember that core, that Christ is still in you and willing and happy to do good and for, I can't even say things anymore. You talk now.
You're doing so good. Well, let me continue on with Colossians. And through him to reconcile himself to all things, not just some things, not just those in particular, this week over here in that group, but all things, to reconcile himself with all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that is on that cross, is blood that's been shed, not for just me, but for you, but for everyone. Not any given denomination, not any other, not for any one person in particular who heard it first or is hearing it second, third, fourth, and fifth. And another aspect of the scripture that I want to get into is the issue of hearing the gospel. And Paul talks about this. Having heard of the gospel message, you too now have a life in Christ, just by hearing it. Now, the gospel message, his message does go on further to say, as a believer, then you become sealed by the Spirit. But go back to that first verse, right? Now, I talk about two important lessons in this. One is understanding that we have the same common ground and core. The second is the preaching and the discussion of the gospel. Right, because just by people reading the letter of Ephesians, people come to know Christ. They come to know his love. And by us sharing the gospel, by people hearing that, whether they understand it in the first words or it takes years for it to develop, the seed of Christ is planted within them and will come alive within them. So it's our opportunity and our challenge to, one, become very comfortable in accepting everybody on the same common ground and to go out into the world to share that love with everybody, no matter what the circumstances. And second, to wear our faith on our sleeve and to make it evident and known that what we do and by what we do is a gift of Christ through us and is a gift to others. And so I throw that out there as kind of our baseline message. And for anyone that's joined us today, does that make sense to everyone? Do you see similarities or contrast that you want to bring up, anything that throws you forward in that discussion?
I guess it's kind of interesting talking about just like the different denominations and whatnot. And I guess for me, I remember my campus pastor saying that, because I was part of a Lutheran campus ministry in college, and talking about how Christian is the noun and then Lutheran is the adjective. And so going back to that, like, that we're all Christian in that unity from that, and just thinking of the different denominations, each one kind of holds its own flavor of Christianity, and like that they can preserve a different kind of tradition in a sense. And so that each one is important in preserving, I guess, that their kind of theology and tradition,
right.
But to know that we do have that common, like, unity through Christ, and that that can be something that we should be aware of and utilize as Christians to come together and to work, like, together as with that unity for the church, but also just being respectful, I guess, of the different flavors, that each one is important in its own way of preserving the tradition.
And with it, those traditions are important because they call people forward, and people have different, I don't want to say needs, but people are motivated by different issues and different thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed us with diversity, right? So not everybody is drawn to the same issue at the same time in the same way. So those differences in traditions are important. The spirituality that comes out from a high church environment, right, maybe even Catholic or Orthodox environment, is there specifically because it draws people into God. For those people that are drawn to them, that's what they need. That's what feeds them. You want to give them that, and you allow them that space. And that, I think that goes right through what you're saying, is that we're all blessed with a multitude of gifts. We're all blessed with a multitude of challenges, but also with opportunities to learn about Christ. And then we're all blessed with how we should use that. So to just accept that diversity and use that for strength, because everybody has a different angle and different perspective, and somebody else needs to be here that way. Somebody else needs to hear it other than what we're saying, and you got to give them that chance. So falling back on the common ground, as you said, I think it's exactly where we need to be. One of the things we talked about is this Revive in the End group that was out there. I talked about it this morning, about how many of the churches in Porter County, Lake County, this area in particular, were silent in that process because there was who was leading, who wasn't leading, what were they doing, how were they doing it. They weren't inclusive, they were too inclusive. That sort of discussion went on.
Do you all know what he's talking about?
Okay.
I just want to make sure you're paying.
It's just kind of sad to me that we weren't more united. You know, 60 congregations, 3,000 people in two counties. Sounds pretty impressive, isn't it? But there should have been another 160. There should have been another 30,000 people, right? But because we couldn't get beyond those differences, and we couldn't come to that common ground of working in Christ together, regardless of those differences, many churches didn't stand up with that. And that's, I think, a sad note for us to remember as we're talking about this lesson today. And I just need to share with this, because I did it earlier today. It's really a great story. One of the campers last Sunday shared with us their experience with that Revive Indiana. They group up and got together, they had prayer and breakfast in the morning, went out and they challenged themselves, said, we're going to go out and just help someone. We're going to find somebody to help, we're going to help someone. So they're driving around the city, and they couldn't find anybody. They looked for hours, couldn't find anybody, looked for 2 hours. Finally, they're about ready to give it up, and they see you come across this woman that's moving furniture right in and out of her house. And they said, well, maybe there's somebody we can help. So they go up and they try to help, and they just start having a conversation. And said, we're here to help you. What do you mean help? Well, we're here to help you. I think God's called us forward to be here to help you. And after we left them, she kind of let them help. And they got everything moved, and then afterwards, they shared time in prayer. The two people hadn't met each other, never knew anything about each other, did nothing. They're now sharing prayer. And that's a beautiful thing, right? But it doesn't just stop there. And she goes on to say, she asked him, well, why did you stop? What made you stop your prayer? And God says, I believe, and I really do believe that Jesus, God told me to be here with you today. She says, what do you mean? God told me to be with you today. And she starts to break up in tears. She said, I can't believe you're telling me this. She said, just 2 days ago, I was so frustrated. I'm so hurt with so many issues right now. I prayed to God. I said, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? Why have you just given up on me? And here you are, telling me that God placed you in my life today. And what a miracle that is. So, to find opportunities to just let your light or your faith, show, let people know why what you're doing is for Christ. The society wants us to pull away from that description. Society doesn't want us to tell anybody what gives us the origin of our hope. doesn't want to give us the origin of our faith, our joy. Society says you got to hold on to that yourself. Keep that internal. And I'm saying no. Because in this letter that's before us today, two specific components. We are all in Christ. We are all predestined by God's creation in us. We're all predestined by Christ's sacrifice that we have redemption and we'll live again together in eternity. And then from there, is we all know that our role is to proclaim the gospel in everything we do, whether we preach, whether we serve, whether you work and toil for hard labor, it doesn't matter. But you do it for the love of Christ because that's the blessing of the work that you need to do.
Well, that's what's pretty amazing about what the young ladies have done.
Absolutely amazing. So we have just a couple of moments and we're about ready to finish this episode. Anybody have anything they want to share?
Well, it's just interesting that you're talking about the conversation with the power all at once. And I know I had a similar conversation with Anna a couple weeks ago, who's kind of not different. But here I am in this Lutheran ministry. And I'm telling Anna that, you know, the main thing is Christ. And, like, that's what we're teaching here. And that's why I'm here. Like, I go to a Wesleyan school and have a Church of God tradition. And so it's just... Yeah, I really appreciate what you said about.
That's what you're Yeah, and I really hope that people hear what you have to say this week and understand what's brought you together and how you view that. This is such an important lesson for all of us to know that we love each other because of the same origin, that we've been gifted with that gift of birth of Christ and sacrifice. That blood has been shed for us, and together we share that blood. So that's our message for today. And I just want to thank you for being with us tonight and taking on the courage to have this conversation with us. We really pray for you this weekend.
Well, we should really pray for them right now.
Yeah, good.
Go ahead.
All right. We'll finish. Let us finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for the gift of ministry and the gift of these young people who have stepped out in faith and in confidence and courage. Bless them with an opportunity to serve your creation, to come to Bethlehem, meet new people, and to serve people they don't know. What a joy that is, Lord, to understand that in times of need, whether it's in our shortcomings or in times of need, whether it's in a need to be with and gather in celebration, that you bring forth people who are willing to share no matter where they are, no matter where they go. And we just give you great thanks. We pray that you give them confidence and have your spirit cast out through them and in them so that your love may be seen by all. Bless the kids that they join in this group today. Bless the parents that support and bring them here. And we just give you thanks for the gift of this community here with us tonight. And Lord, watch after and keep everyone safe. Keep them strong in their faith and keep them strong in their conviction for your love and let them freely express it everywhere they go. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, with that, we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart, and we hope that you have a wonderful week.
Bye now.